The day after tomorrow, it will be 2019, and it promises to be an exciting year for our church, with the coming in the summer of our recently appointed vicar, David, and his wife, Lindsay, to lead us into the next chapter of the St. Barnabas story. And I want to reflect on the account of the boy Jesus at the temple, which was our gospel reading this morning, and to draw out some thoughts on my hopes for our church in the year ahead. What sort of a church should we aim to be? First, we see Jesus listening. He was, we are told, in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them. And we are to be a listening church, both collectively and individually. God is a God who speaks. We are to be a people who listen. Do you remember the magnificent words with which the letter to the Hebrews begins? In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. He has spoken to us in the life, actions, and the words of Jesus. Jesus, who is written of in the Scriptures, Jesus to whom the Scriptures, the Bible, bear witness. Do you recall how Jesus, after his resurrection, fell in with two disciples as they walked to the village of Emmaus, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning himself. And if we have ears to hear, we can learn from Jesus the living word through the written word. And some have the immense privilege and the immense responsibility of teaching that word, that they and others may be helped better to understand its deep truths. We read in the Acts of the Apostles how an important Ethiopian official was reading from the book of Isaiah and puzzling over its meaning. When Philip the Apostle approached him and asked him if he understood what he was reading, "How can I," the Ethiopian asked, "unless someone explains it to me?" From the humblest Sunday school teacher to the most learned theologian, there are those who are called upon to teach the faith. A listening church is a church where people listen to the teaching. That isn't to say for a moment that those who teach are infallible, never get it wrong, don't sometimes put it rather badly. Jesus listened to the teachers, even though, as we learn in the gospel records, he came during his ministry to challenge many of their interpretations or applications of that teaching. But the important point for a listening church is that it does in fact listen, that its members resist the temptation to doze off. And before anyone shouts hypocrite, I have to admit to my shame occasionally in that respect. But also and more important, it resists the temptation to sit in judgment on the teachers. Is he or she sound? Is he or she one of us? We must ask, what can I learn? Not what can I find fault with or pick an argument with. A former Archbishop of Canterbury, one of the most focused on preaching of recent church leaders, Donald Coggan, used to say that the most important participants in a sermon is the congregation. If they wanted to learn, if they were attentive and alert, then the sermon, the teaching was a positive event. If they were indifferent, just waiting for it to be over, then however well prepared, however well delivered, it failed in its purpose. He firmly considered listening as much a part of worship as singing. We are all of us to love God with our hearts, yes, and our voices, yes, but also with attentive minds. But what if the teaching is in fact off-beam, not completely true to the gospel, too much influenced by the passing fashions of the day, not addressing the real needs of the hearers? Jesus wasn't only listening to the teachers. He was also, we read, asking them questions. He was engaging with them. He was practicing what is perhaps the most effective way of learning, listening and asking questions, challenging questions if need be, but questions to which he wanted an answer, not to show off how clever he was, not to embarrass, but to learn. And any preacher or teacher worth his or her salt will be happy to be challenged courteously and in private by an honestly motivated questioner. But so my second hope for our church in the year ahead is that as well as being a listening church, we are a learning church. Because, dear brothers and sisters, there is always more to learn for all of us, whether we are 3 or 93. And there is always more to learn about the depth of God's love for us in Jesus Christ. At the end of his second letter, St. Peter urges his readers to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We always have more to learn. A number of years ago, a leading figure in the Christian healing movement spent the weekend here at St. Barnabas, and a teaching session on healing was arranged on the Saturday evening. My wife Kate asked a local minister, now retired, if he was coming to the session. I still find it hard to believe his reply. So-and-so has nothing to teach me about healing. I'm not saying that everyone should necessarily attend everything that the church lays on. Other family priorities, or indeed the need for rest and relaxation, may offer rightly prevail. But the arrogance of "I know it all, what can he teach me?" is so sad. God always has more to teach us. To teach us from the scriptures. Someone once described the Bible as being like a river that was shallow enough for a young child to paddle in and deep enough for an elephant to swim in. And only when preparing this sermon was I able to resolve a problem which had worried me for some time. Jesus is always portrayed as sinless, tempted in every way as we are, as it says in Hebrews, yet he did not sin. But in today's gospel reading, to me it had always read as if he was unconcerned when he decided to stay in Jerusalem about the anxiety he would cause his parents. And yet when I read the passage more carefully, it is actually Mary and Joseph who are at fault, thinking, as one translation puts it, assuming he was in their company. But they obviously did not check, which they should have done. A very small point, but it shows that there is always more to learn, more truth to dig out. Yes, a questioning child wanting to learn more, a questioning church not satisfied with a shallow, superficial grasp of the faith, but always wanting to learn more, a learning church. But why did the boy Jesus want to learn more? Because he longed to equip himself for whatever was God his Father's purpose. Dedicated as Samuel was in our short Old Testament reading to serving God. And my hope for our church in 2019 is that we will all long to seek out God's will and purpose for St. Barnabas. And as individuals long to establish what part God has called upon each of us to play in that purpose, whether it be in fact in front or behind the scenes. That we should not be a church contented to rest on its past, indeed not content to rest on its present, but looking to what it can be if each of us is committed to working together, to acknowledging the rich diversity of gifts which we share, united not simply in meeting our own needs, but in seeking as a church to be a base from which we can reach out to others. Jesus saw his place as being in his Father's house. And although we may sometimes be frustrated with the church, some thinking it's changing too quickly, others thinking it is changing too slowly, we all need to remember that it is where God has called us to be, and we should reflect long and hard before ever we think of either going somewhere else or going it alone. Our avowed purpose is to be making disciples for life. But that cannot be fulfilled unless we each commit ourselves to being disciples for life. A listening church, a learning church, a longing church. But all this in the context of the great commandment to love God and to love our neighbor. I once heard this summed up as to worship and to evangelize. I've no argument with that except that it is far, far too narrow. Jesus points to what is at the heart of love for him and our Heavenly Father, that we keep his commands. And he goes on, "My command is this, love one another as I have loved you." And love for neighbor, as he points out in the parable of the Good Samaritan, also involves practical concern and action. So the listening, the learning, and the longing church must be the loving church, ready to listen to each other with sympathy, respect, and understanding, being honest with each other, open with each other, and prepared, however much we may initially be uncertain about it, to learn from each other. Ready to look outside our number to those around us, longing to see how we can play our part in making them feel welcome and cared for. St. Barnabas 2019, continuing to follow its Lord, who all those years ago knew his place to be in his Father's house, ready to be about his Father's business. St. Barnabas seeking as a church to be a listening, learning, longing, and above all, loving fellowship in the service of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.